Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. New York, this is Democracy Now!
In fact, they're just being fools and lapdogs for the rhinos and the radical left Democrats, and not that they should have anything at all to do with it. They're very unpatriotic and disloyal to our Constitution.
President Trump lashes out at the Supreme Court after justices strike down his sweeping global tariffs. Trump initially responded to the ruling by announcing a new 10% global tariff. He then raised it to 15%. We'll speak to Lori Wallach of Rethink Trade. Then to Gaza. As a new study in the British medical journal The Lancet concludes, Israel's war on Gaza has killed far more Palestinians than initially reported. We'll speak to the Pulitzer Prize-winning poet Masab Abu Toha, who managed to leave Gaza with his family. And the Winter Olympics have ended in Italy. We'll speak with the journalist and former athlete Jules Boykoff. He says recent reforms haven't fixed the core issues at the Olympics.
They don't get at the core elements that really plague the Olympic Games, and that's overspending, that's the intensification of militarized policing, that's greenwashing, that's corruption, that's the displacement of local populations. And you're seeing all of those things in Milan.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The Supreme Court struck down President Trump's global tariffs Friday, ruling in a 6-3 decision that he didn't have the emergency powers he claimed to have to impose tariffs. President Trump immediately lashed out at the justices of the high court, vowing other alternatives are available to him to pursue tariffs, and announced a 10% global tariff over the current rate. On Saturday, Trump raised his global tariffs to 15%. This time, Trump issued the latest round of tariffs under a different law, Section 122 of the Trade Act of 1974, which allows him to impose up to 15% tariffs for 150 days. The tariffs are set to take effect starting February 24th.
The Supreme Court's ruling on tariffs is deeply disappointing, and I'm ashamed of certain members of the court, absolutely ashamed, for not having the courage to do what's right for our country. It's my opinion that the court has been swayed by foreign interests and a political movement that is far smaller than people would ever think.
Soon after the Supreme Court's ruling, Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker sent a letter to President Trump demanding tariff refunds for every family in Illinois. The letter reads, quote, "The Supreme Court has ruled this is yet one more unconstitutional act by you and your administration. This letter and the attached invoice stand as an official notice that the compensation is owed to the people of Illinois, and if you do not comply, we will pursue further action," he said. We'll have more on this story after headlines. U.S. and Iranian negotiators are set to meet in Geneva Thursday to discuss a new nuclear proposal. According to Axios, U.S. officials say this is likely the last chance President Trump will give Iran before ordering a U.S.-Israeli military operation that could directly target Supreme Leader Ali Khamenei. It comes as the U.S. has been building up warships and fighter jets near Iran, deploying two aircraft carriers, the largest USS Gerald Ford and the USS Abraham Lincoln. This is President Trump's special envoy, Steve Witkoff.
I don't want to use the word frustrated. It's almost because he understands he's got plenty of alternatives. But it's curious. He's curious as to why they haven't, I don't want to use the word capitulated, but why they haven't capitulated.
On Sunday, anti-government protests in Iran erupted on university campuses in the capital, Tehran, and the northeastern city of Mashhad. In videos on social media, the student protesters appear to wear black to mourn the thousands of demonstrators killed by Iranian security forces in last month's protests. The Iranian government has arrested 40,000 people in connection with the anti-government demonstrations last month. At least three people were killed in another U.S. military strike on a boat in the eastern Pacific. The U.S. Southern Command confirmed the Friday attack, claiming, again without evidence, the boat had been targeted for traveling along a supposed drug trafficking route. CNN reports at least 148 people have been killed since September, when the Trump administration began its series of military strikes on boats in the Caribbean and Pacific, attacks that have been widely condemned as illegal. This comes as Cuba's been withdrawing security advisors and doctors from Venezuela in the aftermath of the U.S. attack and abduction of the Venezuelan president Nicolas Maduro and his wife in early January. Reuters reports the move comes as Venezuela's interim leader, Delcy Rodriguez, is facing growing pressure from the U.S. to cut ties with Cuba as the Trump administration seeks to further isolate the island to topple the Cuban government. At least 32 Cuban officers were killed in the U.S. attack on Venezuela last month, the officers part of Maduro's security detail. Mexican security forces killed Mexico's most wanted drug lord, Nemesio Rubén Oseguera Cervantes, known as El Mencho, on Sunday in the town of Tapalpa in Jalisco State. The U.S. had provided intelligence to Mexican authorities for the operation. The U.S. had placed a $15 million bounty on El Mencho, who led the Jalisco New Generation Cartel, which is a designated terrorist organization in the United States. Following his death, violence erupted in multiple cities across Mexico. In Guadalajara, Jalisco's capital, gunfire was reported, and armed men reportedly set a gas station ablaze. Vehicles were set on fire near beachfront hotels in the resort city of Puerto Vallarta. The U.S. Embassy in Mexico urged Americans to shelter in place in multiple states across Mexico. Tourists were left stranded in Puerto Vallarta as Air Canada, Delta, American Airlines, and Alaskan Airlines all announced they were canceling flights to and from the town's airport due to the ongoing security situation. Israeli strikes have killed at least 12 people in eastern and southern Lebanon in another violation of the ceasefire deal with Hezbollah that went into effect November 2024. Lebanon's Ministry of Public Health said at least two people were killed in an Israeli attack on the Ain al-Hilweh camp, the country's largest Palestinian refugee camp. The Israeli military claimed to target Hamas. The group denies it has training facilities in Lebanon's refugee camps. According to the UN, the Israeli military has launched more than 10,000 attacks since it agreed to a so-called ceasefire with Hezbollah. In the occupied West Bank, calls for justice are growing following the death of 19-year-old Palestinian-American Nasrallah Mohammed Jamal Abu Sayyam, who succumbed to his injuries last week after he was shot by an Israeli settler. The teen was fired at when he tried to stop Israeli settlers from raiding his village to steal sheep. His family's demanded accountability from the U.S. government, with the State Department releasing a statement this weekend that said it expects a full, thorough, and transparent investigation into the teen's death. The Trump administration last year lifted sanctions on Israeli settlers involved in violence against Palestinians in the occupied West Bank. Abu Sayyam was born in Philadelphia. He's at least the 11th U.S. citizen killed by Israeli soldiers and settlers since 2022. Arab and Muslim nations are condemning recent remarks by Mike Huckabee, the U.S. ambassador to Israel, after he claimed Israel has a right to expand into most of the Middle East. Huckabee made the comments in an interview with the right-wing commentator Tucker Carlson. Here's the exchange.
Does Israel have the right to that land? Because you're appealing to Genesis.
Yeah.
You're saying that's the original deed.
It would be fine if they took it all. But I don't think that's what we're talking about here today.
What would be fine? Well, it's exactly what we're talking about today.
But here's what I don't think
you think it would be fine if the state of Israel took over all of
Jordan. They don't want to take it over.
The League of Arab States said, quote, statements of this nature, extremist and lacking any sound basis, serve only to inflame sentiments and stir religious and national emotions, unquote. An autopsy report by the Democratic National Committee on the 2024 election concluded Kamala Harris lost significant support because of the Biden administration's policy on Gaza. That's according to reporting by Axios. The DNC's report still hasn't been released to the public. The Institute for Middle East Understanding, IMEU, policy project is accusing the DNC of withholding its autopsy report in part because of its findings on Israel. The IMEU policy project reportedly told the DNC that the Biden administration lost its credibility among young people and progressives over its support for Israel. Hamid Bendas, a spokesperson for the IMEU policy project, said during the meeting, quote, the DNC shared with us that their own data also found that policy was, in their words, a net negative in the 2024 election, unquote. In Britain, at least 12 activists with Palestine Action have reunited with their families after months in jail. Among the group released on bail Friday were four hunger strikers. Only one of the 18 activists was not granted conditional bail. Their trial is scheduled for April. That's according to the BBC. Earlier this month, six Palestine Action protesters were found not guilty of aggravated burglary, even after they admitted to breaking into a factory operated by the Israeli military firm Elbit. The British government has banned Palestine Action under its Terrorism Act over direct action protests against Israel's war on Gaza. A 23-year-old U.S. citizen was fatally shot by an ICE agent in South Texas nearly a year before federal immigration agents killed Renee Good and Alex Preti in Minneapolis as part of Trump's immigration crackdown. But ICE's connection to the March 2025 fatal shooting of Ruben Ray Martinez in South Padre Island was only made public last week in reports by Newsweek and The New York Times. Martinez was reportedly shot multiple times by the ICE agent, who's unnamed, after he didn't follow orders to exit his car. His mother told the Times he'd been in the area to celebrate his birthday at the time he was killed. She described him as hardworking, telling the New York Times, quote, he was a good kid. He never got in trouble, unquote. Martinez worked at an Amazon warehouse in San Antonio. A powerful winter storm, which meteorologists call a bomb cyclone, has pummeled and paralyzed the northeastern United States, leaving over 40 million people under a blizzard warning by this morning. More than 260,000 customers in the Mid-Atlantic region are without power, mostly in New Jersey and Delaware. New York City Mayor Zoran Mamdani declared a state of emergency on Sunday and ordered a citywide travel ban between 9 p.m. Sunday and noon Monday. Many school districts, including New York City and Boston, have declared a snow day with no remote learning or in-person learning today. Thousands of flights have been canceled nationwide, with New York area airports experiencing the most disruptions. Scientific experts have long warned the worsening climate crisis is leading to more intense winter storms. University of Pennsylvania researcher Annabelle Horton said data shows, quote, that these really intense, really destructive nor'easters will, in fact, only get more destructive and more powerful in a changing climate, unquote. U.S. Secret Service agents fatally shot an armed man who breached the secure perimeter at President Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate in Palm Beach, Florida, Sunday. The Associated Press reports the man has been identified as 21-year-old Austin Tucker Martin from North Carolina. He reportedly drove into the secure perimeter as another vehicle was exiting the resort. He had a gas can and a shotgun, according to Secret Service. Martin had been reported missing by his family a few days ago. Trump and the First Lady Melania Trump were at the White House at the time of the incident. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. In a major setback to President Trump, the conservative Supreme Court in a 6-3 ruling struck down his global tariffs in a decision that has major implications for the global economy. Writing for the majority, Chief Justice John Roberts said, quote, The president asserts the extraordinary power to unilaterally impose tariffs of unlimited amount, duration, and scope in light of the breadth, history, and constitutional context of that asserted authority. He must identify clear congressional authorization to exercise it, unquote. Trump responded to the ruling on Friday by announcing a new 10% global tariff. Then on Saturday, he increased it to 15%. President Trump also personally attacked the justices for striking down his policies.
The Supreme Court's ruling on tariffs is deeply disappointing, and I'm ashamed of certain members of the court, absolutely ashamed, for not having the courage to do what's right for our country. They also are a, frankly, disgrace to our nation, those justices. They're an automatic no, no matter how good a case you have. It's a no. But you can't knock their loyalty. It's one thing you can do with some of our people. Others think they're being politically correct, which has happened before far too often with certain members of this court, and it's happened so often with this court. What a shame, having to do with voting in particular, when in fact they're just being fools and lapdogs for the rhinos and the radical left Democrats, and not that this should have anything at all to do with it. They're very unpatriotic and disloyal to our Constitution. It's my opinion that the court has been swayed by foreign interests and a political movement that is far smaller than people would ever think.
Three conservative justices joined the liberal justices to reject the tariffs. Chief Justice Roberts and two justices appointed by President Trump, Neil Gorsuch and Amy Coney Barrett. He was asked about them on Friday.
Justices Gorsuch and Barrett, are you surprised in particular by their decision today? And do you regret nominating them?
I don't want to say whether or not I regret. I think their decision was terrible. Yeah. I think it's an embarrassment to their families. You want to know the truth, the two of them. Yeah.
An embarrassment to their families, he said about Coney Barrett and Neil Gorsuch. Soon after the Supreme Court's ruling, Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker sent a letter to President Trump demanding tariff refunds for every family in his state. The letter reads, quote, "The Supreme Court has ruled this is yet one more unconstitutional act by you and your administration. This letter and the attached invoice stand as an official notice that the compensation is owed to the people of Illinois, and if you do not comply, we will pursue further action," Governor Pritzker said. We're joined now by Lori Wallach, director of the Rethink Trade Program at the American Economic Liberties Project. So, Lori, there's a lot to unpack here, not to mention what's going to happen with these tariffs that President Trump reimposed. Start off with his attack on his own justices, two of the justices he appointed.
That unhinged rant was truly terrifying. It sounded just like a dictator talking about the loyalty of judges to the king. But what it reflects is the real impact of that ruling, which is much more on Trump's power than on what the tariff rates in the United States are likely to be. So what the court said is that Trump does not have tariff authority under the particular statute that he's been using most frequently, which is a statute that had no limitations, allowed him to target with punishment or reward particular companies, whole economic sectors, reward friends and family, torture whole countries. And it really reduces Trump's ability, not being able to use that authority to hurl tariffs around with some, like some Zeus-like lightning bolts. But the reality is that there are a lot of other statutory authorities where Congress has delegated tariff rights to presidents. And so, as you reported, immediately Trump announced other tariffs. So the tariff rates aren't likely to change. Rather, the use of the tool as a really leverage power tool by Trump. And so he's furious about it because a court that's been otherwise willing to expand his authority endlessly drew a line. I want to note, it kind of drew a line at the place where, under the hands of a different president, tariff authority could be something that actually limits bad corporate conduct, not rewards it. So it's sort of an interesting place where they drew the line, but they took away a bunch of his power.
So explain what he did, the 10% applying it under different rules and then increasing it to 15%.
So just to step back for one second, the Constitution has one of its starkest checks and balances on trade. So the Constitution gives exclusive authority over tariffs to Congress. So the only way a president can impose a tariff is if the Congress has delegated authority. So the question is, what authority does the president have? And what he used is a thing called Section 22, which refers to part of the 1974 Trade Act. And Section 122 basically says, if you have a balance of payments problem, you can put up to 15% tariffs in place, Mr. President, automatically, no other showing, for up to 5 months. And that's the statute he's used for these tariffs. Now, he started out at 10%, which honestly made kind of sense if you're trying to reestablish his baseline tariff, which applies to a bunch of countries. And then he used discretion in that statute. Tariff chaos strikes again, literally overnight, to raise it to 15%. The irony is, by raising it to 15%, the max under that particular statute, he ends up raising tariffs in a bunch of the countries that either always have had only 10% tariffs since so-called Liberation Day, and with some of the countries that made deals with him. Now they have higher tariffs after this than before the Supreme Court. Chaos.
In a 63-page dissenting opinion, conservative justices, Trump's appointee Brett Kavanaugh, and then Clarence Thomas and Samuel Alito claim the majority's decision could lead to short-term chaos. Justice Kavanaugh wrote, quote, "The United States may be required to refund billions of dollars to importers who paid the IEEPA tariffs, even though some importers may have already passed on costs to consumers or others," Kavanaugh said. So talk about this issue. I mean, he's warning about this, but he was in the minority. This critical point that the SCOTUS decision left unanswered, how the Trump administration may have to refund more than $100 billion in tariff revenues. And what, for example, the Illinois governor, J.B. Pritzker, said the population of his state is owed.
So what's very interesting about this Supreme Court ruling, which goes on to 170 pages, it's clear they were all battling over what to do and how to do it, is that it doesn't speak to what to do about tariff refunds. So if you've just said all these tariffs are not legal, then the question is, there's almost been $150 billion paid in by most estimates. So then what do you do with that money? And it's very tricky because the likely scenario, particularly without more direction and guidance, is the biggest companies, the Costcos, the Walmarts, they have monopoly power in the market that they could force their foreign suppliers to eat the tariff. So they charge them less for the imported good, or they paid them for the tariff. But on the books at the U.S. Customs Department, they're listed, Costco or Walmart, is paying the tariffs. So if they get paid back, it's a windfall because their supplier probably paid most of it up front, plus a bunch of them passed on those expenses to consumers. Small businesses are going to be totally stiffed if there's some horrible long process or you have to go through a lawsuit to get the money, because they can't put the resources into that. And then what happens to everyone who paid more? And that's even trickier, honestly, because a bunch of prices went up for things that weren't charged tariffs. So some of the big companies didn't pay tariffs and they raised prices because they made their supplier pay. In other instances, things that didn't have tariffs, we are all paying for more. I just want to talk about beef. 80% of beef eaten in the U.S. is raised in the U.S. Of the other 20%, half of it comes from Mexico and Canada and never had tariffs. So all this talk by Trump of, I'm cutting tariffs on beef to bring down prices. We're paying more for beef. We're hearing it's from trade, but there were no tariffs. So how in that mess you actually figure out how to send the money back to the right people is a real pickle that the court was silent on.
On Friday, President Trump claimed the Supreme Court had been swayed by, quote, foreign interests. This is U.S. Trade Representative Ambassador Jameson Greer speaking on Face the Nation on CBS Sunday.
What I'm telling you is that when the president talks about foreign influences, at a minimum, what we see is that foreign companies are involved in the coalitions, the PR effort, they're involved in the cases, and they don't want these tariffs. It's not a secret.
Can you respond to this, Lori Wallach?
So, like many things the president says, the basis is in his head. He's just trying to be insulting. The reality is that there's no evidence that there is foreign influence on the court per se. It is also true that companies in other countries don't want to pay these tariffs. And frankly, U.S. multinational companies who offshored U.S. jobs to low-wage countries have an interest in not paying these tariffs. So I don't know, the subsidiary of one of the big automakers in another country probably is unhappy about it. Is that a foreign company or is that a domestic company? The issue is really corporate power. And there are two things to think about that. One is, because Trump so abused the IEEPA tariff authority, he lost it for good for all presidents. It was just shut down. No, IEEPA has no tariff authority. And a different kind of president might have been able to actually use that. And we might have wanted a different kind of president to use that authority judiciously in an emergency for the sake of protecting U.S. workers, our environment, food safety, whatever. That's gone because of Trump's abuse. And the abuse is things like he's cutting tariffs on China, where there really is a serious trade problem and mercantilist abuses that have led to huge deficits, not just for us. I mean, the whole world has tariffs on China right now, Mexico, Brazil. And at the same time, he put 50% tariffs on Brazil because he didn't like the fact they were holding the former wannabe dictator accountable for his coup. So those kind of abuses lost this authority altogether. And the other piece of it is, to what end is the Trump tariff program working? He promised it was to create more manufacturing jobs and balance trade. But literally the day before this ruling, the trade data for 2025 came out, and we saw 88,000 more U.S. manufacturing jobs lost in the 11 months since Trump came back. And we saw the manufacturing trade deficit up in 2025 by $60 billion, almost 4%. So that's the opposite of the outcome. Tariffs can be a very useful tool if strategically deployed. If used as a weapon to go after political opponents, to threaten to tariff Europe over Greenland, absurd uses of tariffs, and or to corruptly reward family, friends, companies. I mean, think about it. They threatened Europe with high tariffs. If Europe doesn't deregulate big tech monopoly abuses, doesn't give up having privacy protections, and then offered to cut those tariffs on U.S. steel, real manufacturing tariffs, if Europe would give a favor to big tech. That is no trade policy. That's just coercion. And that's what the Supreme Court has taken away. But we're still going to have more tariffs because there are other statutes he could apply tariffs using.
Lori Wallach, I want to thank you for being with us, Director of the Rethink Trade Program at the American Economic Liberties Project. Coming up, a new study in the British medical journal The Lancet concludes Israel's war on Gaza killed far more Palestinians than initially reported. We'll speak to the Pulitzer Prize-winning poet Mossab Abu-Toha, who managed to leave Gaza with his family. Stay with us. Gerard and band singing When I Loved You at the Brooklyn Folk Festival last year. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. A new study in the British medical journal The Lancet's concluded Israel's war on Gaza killed far more Palestinians than initially reported. Researchers found there were over 75,000 violent deaths in the first 16 months of Israel's assault, compared to the roughly 49,000 deaths reported by the Palestinian Health Ministry over that period. More than half of those killed in the Israeli strikes were women, seniors, or children.